I'll explain why I'm laughing. I bet there are some people out there who are getting it. But I want to introduce my guest. It's Nick DiGilio here. We're live in the Skyline studio until 4 a.m. Dennis Scott, the great house organist from the Music Box Theater, is going to join us to talk about the White Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life sing-along that's always so popular at this time of year at the Music Box Theater. But I want to join, I want to welcome to the show, editor-in-chief of The Takeout, which is a fantastic food-related website. And it's thetakeout.com. And she's the editor-in-chief, and her name is Marnie Shore. Marnie, how are you?
Good, thank you.
It's nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too. Thanks for having me.
No, absolutely. I'm very excited. Now, the reason why I was laughing is because that song that that Tom just played back from the commercial is by a group called Hot Chocolate.
Relevant.
So
highly relevant.
That's why Tom, you know, he never takes a moment not to do that kind of stuff.
That's what he's doing.
Exactly. So how you doing, Marnie? Nice to see you.
I'm great. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming out in this holiday season. Tell everybody about The Takeout.
Sure. The Takeout is a food website, but whereas a lot of websites about food are either restaurant reviews or sort of industry inside scoops, we try to kind of cast a wide net, and our tagline is food is delicious.
Yes.
So it's a celebration of food, both, you know, quote, highbrow and lowbrow food.
Yeah.
We talk about fast food. We talk about, you know, how to make your own really complicated pastries. We kind of run the gamut between the two because we know that everybody eats, and so everybody should have a website where they can read about their favorite food.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And how long have you been a part of it?
I have been a contributor to the site since its inception 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
But I have only been editor-in-chief for a couple months now.
And is it still associated with AV Club?
It is. It is a spinoff of the AV Club,
right.
And we're part of the Geo Media portfolio.
I love how the AV Club has just exploded,
hasn't it?
Over the years. It's so great because I've been an Onion reader for as long as I can remember.
Oh, that's great!
I love the Onion, and we do a thing here on the show called Know Your Onion.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, and every Wednesday morning we do a thing called Know Your Onion, where we'll have a caller call in and be a contestant, and Tom will read a news headline, and you have to guess whether it's real or if it's from the Onion.
Amazing!
And because the real news is so insane right now, that it's sometimes really difficult to tell whether it's a real news headline or it's from the Onion.
More now than ever.
Oh yeah. Now, you know, one of the headlines that we used, and this one was not from the Onion. This mm-hmm. was a real one. People in Las Vegas were looking for someone who was putting tiny cowboy hats on pigeons.
I saw that story.
It's a real story.
Did they find the culprit?
I don't think they have. They should find the culprit and give them a reward because it's hilarious. Exactly. Did you see the pictures of the pigeons?
Yeah, it must have taken some real intricacy there.
I know. That's really something. But people are walking around in Vegas going, what the hell is this? And there's little cowboy hats on pigeons. But anyway.
It's a weird enough city as it is, right?
It is. Absolutely. But I've been an Onion fan, you know, way back when they would have the actual paper.
Oh, yeah.
The physical newspaper. And, you know, I used to hang out at a bar in Andersonville called Simon's. And
absolutely.
Yeah, you know Simon's. You have some glug?
Yep, absolutely.
Yep, absolutely. But anyway, I used to hang out there. I also used to bartend there for a little while. And we would be there every Thursday when they would deliver the Onion, and they'd drop it off right in front.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I remember when the September 11th issue came out,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the greatest pieces of satire I've ever seen. Timely and beautiful and sad and hilarious. And we all just like ran to the front when they delivered it. And I remember just a bunch of us at Simon's just reading it and going, oh my God. Because it was at a time when we didn't know whether we could laugh. We didn't know what was off limits. And they went for it then. So.
Oh yeah. That's an incredible like Chicago Midwestern memory as much as anything else too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, The Onion, that was their first issue that they put out after moving their offices to New York.
That's right.
So it had even more relevance, but, you know, Midwest publication through and through.
Yeah, no question about it. So I love The Onion, and okay. So I'm glad that the AV Club, and watching how it's grown over the years to what it is now, it's monstrous. It's so great. And
yeah.
They publish so much really cool stuff online and all that really cool stuff, and then now there's The Takeout.
Mm-hmm.
So, Wilson, tell me about yourself. Where are you from, and when did you start writing and all that?
Sure. I am a native of the Chicago suburbs. I grew up in LaGrange, Illinois.
Ah, LaGrange.
Yes. Ah, LaGrange. It's all. It's actually the slogan of the.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Ah, LaGrange.
Flags everywhere that say Ah, LaGrange. But yeah, I grew up there, and I, You can't get me out of Illinois because I also went to college on the western edge of the state, Knox College in Galesburg, Illinois.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And then after that, I worked just bouncing around editorially. But actually, I worked as managing editor of The Onion and then left the company for a little while to pursue some other comedy projects. And now I'm back at The Takeout. And mm-hmm. It feels good. Feels good to be back.
What was it like being manager editor of The Onion? Was that fun?
Oh, it was. It had its ups and downs like every job, but it really was an incredible work environment.
Yeah.
And a lot of people come into the office expecting it to be laugh a minute, this total riot. But you'd be amazed at how quiet and focused most of the day is because the writers are so intent on getting those headlines out, especially about recent news.
Yeah.
And so it was really a combination of a circus and a very studious environment at all times.
It's interesting because there was that movie about the joke. The famous joke, The Aristocrats.
Yeah.
And they had footage of the writer's room. Of The Onion in the writer's room. And it was fun to just see that behind the scenes. Because, again, I was a huge fan of The Onion at that point, just to see the writer's room. And that was back when they were still in Chicago. In those days. Now, were they in New York when you worked?
No, they actually moved to Chicago again in 2012.
Oh, they did?
They've kind of bounced around. So they went from Madison to Chicago to New York to Chicago.
Right.
And they've been in Chicago now since 2012. And so, you know, it's getting back to its Midwest roots. But, you know, a lot of people from all over the country write for The Onion. Yeah. And it brings in a lot of nice perspective.
Madison, you mentioned Madison. That's the first thing you think of when you think of The Onion is Madison. It was just so closely associated with Madison, Wisconsin.
Amen to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So so you started writing. Now, you said comedy pursuits. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. Actually, I worked briefly for a company that has opened and closed in that time called Thud. Thud was a comedy project that was funded by Elon Musk. You might have read about it.
I've heard about him.
Yeah.
He's going to get everybody to Mars.
Exactly. And he's going to get, he brought comedy to the world for a brief and shining moment. Uh-huh. But then that project began and ended over a two-year span.
What was the project? What was Thud?
Thud was.
I know the name. I just don't remember.
Yeah. It didn't have a long time to gain household recognition.
Right, right.
It was a website, but it was also these projects that lived out in the real world. They were satirical projects that kind of went off the page.
Okay.
So we tried to produce satire about, you know, gun laws and. And DNA testing was a big part of what we did.
Uh-huh.
And we sort of created a whole, from scratch, we went to South by Southwest and created a phony DNA test that people could take just by taking a photo of their mouth.
That's hilarious. Yeah. About what time period was this?
This was in March.
Just last year?
It was released in March of 2019.
Oh, 2019. Mm-hmm. So it was, okay. Because I was going to say, the DNA testing thing is massive now.
Oh, yeah.
It's so, Ancestry.com, there's also the 20, what is it, the 23?
23andMe,
23andMe.
Ancestry.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of them now.
A ton.
And there's ones for your dog as well.
Wait a minute, what?
You can send your dog's saliva into a DNA test so that they can determine breed.
That's not an Onion headline?
No, I wish. Because it's pretty expensive, too.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you worked at FUD, and that was were you always like into comedy and stuff like that?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of comedy, and it was, you know, the luckiest thing that ever happened to me was getting to work for The Onion and learning more from the greats. I try to infuse that same comedy into The Takeout, and it's been working for us so far.
That's cool. All right. Well, listen, why don't we take a quick break?
Sure.
When we come back, Marnie Shure is here, editor-in-chief of The Takeout. We're going to talk about some of the articles that have been written recently, food-related, by The Takeout, and then we're going to do the hot chocolate taste test right here. So, Marnie, hang on, okay? More coming up right after this on 720 WGN. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. Another song by Hot Chocolate.
We're on the theme.
Yeah. I don't know if you... Tom, you're going to have a difficult time finding another song by those guys that was a hit, at least. So, yeah, and the reason why we've got the hot chocolate theme is because we're going to do live in studio a hot chocolate taste test. In studio with me is editor-in-chief of The Takeout. Check out thetakeout.com, a great food website, Marnie Shore. Marnie, welcome back.
Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you guys have been writing about before we do the hot chocolate test in a little bit. Speaking of hot chocolate, there's a piece here called Tell Us About Your Favorite Mug. Tell us about your mugs. Yeah. Where did that come from? And tell me about that piece.
You know, I was, I get a lot of inspiration from my own kitchen, I guess, because I was reaching for my coffee mug. And it just struck me that, you know, everybody has more mugs than they need. No family has, you know, just the plain white coffee mugs that you see in stock photos.
Yeah.
Everybody has ridiculous or at least coffee mugs with a rich backstory to them.
Yeah.
So I just thought, let's start talking about it.
It's funny because, you know, my parents drink a lot of coffee. And I noticed that they each have their own, like, mug. They have a little mug tree, you know, where you can hang your mugs from this. So they have that, and they each have their own mug.
Yeah, there's a sense of possessiveness there, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly. Now, how does that... Now, so you've been hearing from people about their mugs?
Yes, the comments have been really delightful because they range between... You know, the silly to the serious. Someone showed a pretty awesome looking Wonder Woman mug in the comments. And then someone else said, you know, my favorite mug is one that an ex gave me. And it makes me a little sad, but it makes me really happy because they're still making me happy, even though they're not with me anymore.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah. So there's a story behind everybody's mug.
And lots of emotion.
Did the people who are participating and making comments on this, has anybody talked about the workplace mugs?
Well,
has that popped up?
There's a bit of a conversation swirling about how often those mugs get cleaned. And I don't really want to know the answer.
Right. I'm no longer a coffee... Well, it's been a really long time. I don't drink coffee. I haven't had caffeine in like 13 years. So I do the old styrofoam Papa Nicholas. I drink water out of that. But I know a lot of people who do have their own personal mugs here at work, I don't know if they're like stored someplace because we have like a couple of break room kitchens here on the 18th floor, and I've noticed that there have been mugs, and I would imagine that people probably have their own.
I would get terrified if I brought a mug to the office that I didn't want mixed in with the general use mugs, and suddenly it's nowhere to be found.
Yeah, someone took your mug. I guess when I was a coffee drinker, I had a Three Stooges mug that was my favorite.
Understandable.
Yeah, it was the Three Stooges, and the reason why it was my favorite is because it featured Shemp, who is my favorite Stooge.
Oh yeah,
not
the
Curly
Lost Stooge.
I'm a Shemp guy. So someone actually found a Three Stooges mug with Shemp instead of Curly.
Wow,
and that's pretty special. So,
that is special that someone thought of you that way.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. So you talked about mugs, and can people still participate in this?
Absolutely. Every day we run an article at the end of the day called Last Call, and it's where we really encourage commenters to jump in and start the conversation.
What are some of the other regular features on the Takeout that people can check out?
Oh, sure. We have recipes. We have several recipes a week that people can, you know, ask questions about, and the recipe developers are there to answer questions about those creations. And then we have, you know, interviews with people who are writing books in the food world. We have just, you know, personal essays that are maybe a memory about a particular dish or tradition. And acquired tastes, which is alerting readers to unique types of food that they might not know about, maybe because they're regional or because they are cultural. And there's just something for everyone there. And a lot of news about fast food, of course.
Of course. I love that you guys cover fast food. I really do. So let me ask you this. Have you had the Popeye's chicken sandwich?
I have.
What do you think?
You know, it's a chicken sandwich, and I enjoyed eating it. I don't think I would stand in line again, but it takes a lot for me to stand in line for food.
Yeah.
You know, not since hot dogs closed have I stood in a two-hour line for some food.
And by the way, the line was part of what made hot dogs special.
100%.
I love that place. I love Doug. I've had him on the show many times. The hot dogs, I'm sad it's closed. Mm-hmm. It was great. But my parents, by the way, tried the chicken sandwich. They went nuts.
Really?
They love it. They absolutely love it.
Was it just...
They just described it. My parents, my mom was like, I've never had a chicken sandwich like that in my life. Now it's like, so people, I mean, it obviously there's like legitimate love for this sandwich. I've not tried it. I've not had it.
It's worth it. You know, if you can get it without the line.
Right.
You know, it was pretty stressful getting it back when I got it in August. And, you know, if you do get the sandwich, just be extra kind to all the people who helped make it.
Okay. Very good. So we've got other stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about IHOP and Chipotle. And all that stuff, but we've got two of them. But we've actually Tom has brought in some hot chocolate for us. Now, first of all, tell everybody about the hot chocolate taste test that you guys did at the takeout.
We wanted to determine which of these powders. Well, we wanted to determine, are they different, and if they taste significantly different, which ones are the best, because people should know what to buy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that a lot of us grew up with Swiss Miss packets.
Yep.
And just because it's the default doesn't mean it's the best. So we wanted to. Try out everything we could, and we got 12 different brands.
Okay.
Both in individual packets and in a scoopable,
like the
tub,
jar kind right, of thing. Yeah,
like a jar. And we kind of got a range of things that we have heard of and things that we hadn't, but that were available widely on shelves, because we want to simulate the experience of standing in front of that shelf and wondering, how are these different, and
okay,
what should I get?
All right. Well, I'm looking at the article right now. You did 12 different ones. I didn't even know Tootsie Roll had a hot cocoa.
I wish I didn't know Tootsie Roll had a cocoa.
Okay. Well, let's try this, because are these going to be blind taste at Tom? Because Tom put this all together. We now have 4 cups of hot chocolate in front of us, in front of Marnie. There are 4 in front of me. There are 4. Tom, you know which one is which?
Yes, I do.
And so we're going to taste it and say whether we like it or not.
Yep.
And then you'll tell us which brand it is. All right. You want to try this?
Okay.
All right. So I'm going for this. The first one right there, the closest one to you, okay, is also the closest one to me. So let's take a sip.
Let's do it.
Okay. Wait. Well, it's warm. Nice and warm.
It is nice and warm. It's got the hot part nailed down.
Okay. Not crazy about it. Now, what about you?
Well, this has...
Do you know what it is? Can you tell by the taste of what it is, since you did this already?
I suspect I might, but not to criticize Tom's serving, but it's too much water per powder.
Yeah, that's one of the things I was going to say, is that it's a little runny.
Yeah, that's kind of the key to a lot of this, is that 6 ounces of water, which is what's recommended for most of these servings, is an incredibly small amount. That wouldn't even reach the halfway point of this cup, probably.
Okay.
So as long as you keep the water levels low, everything tastes a little better.
Right.
But this is, you know, it is.
It's fun. Yeah, I'm not crazy about it. So what? Which brand is this one?
That's the Tootsie Roll hot.
That's
cocoa.
The Tootsie Roll hot.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
Marnie was correct though about the water.
I think that as it cools, if I recall correctly, it tastes more and more like a Tootsie Roll, better or for worse.
Okay, here's what you said, because you're quoted in the taste test here of the Tootsie Roll. You said, "I even try aerating it like wine in my mouth, hunting for the Tootsie Roll flavor profile, but that created a momentary spoiled milk taste. Incredible, since there is zero milk in my mug, only water. It does end up tasting more like a Tootsie Roll as it cools, but that's not a good thing."
And I wonder about this particular cup. You know, if I was wondering and hunting around for that Tootsie Roll flavor, and you're surprised to find out that it's Tootsie Roll.
I'm completely surprised to find out. It doesn't taste like a Tootsie Roll at all.
Maybe they should market it more as a cold drink then, because I think you only get that flavor once it cools off.
I think
off.
That makes sense. I love this, though. Gwen, the person that worked with you on this is, ugh. It's like that line from Peanuts, water with a brown crayon.
She's right. Not wrong.
All right. All right. So let's do the second one here.
All right.
All right. And that's the one that's a little bit further from us. Okay. Let's see. Here we go. Okay. It's significantly better.
Right.
Than the one that we just tasted. But it's kind of got a weird aftertaste, doesn't it?
Yes. And, you know, some of that is inherent in cocoa, I think, because it's water competing with the stuff that was mixed in.
Sure.
But this at least has a nice, like, frothiness happening
it
on
does.
Top that the Tootsie Roll lacked.
Yeah, no, this is a much better cup of hot chocolate than the last one.
Definitely.
And there's a weird, you know, it's got a little bit of an aftertaste, but there's a weird sort of a peanut scent to it. Like, it kind of has, like, a peanut kind of a scent.
Yeah, I was kind of referring to that throughout our taste test, and I could be wrong about this, kind of malty.
Yeah, no, there you go.
Like a malted milk.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, what is this one, Tom?
That is the Silly Cow Farms Fair Trade Chocolate.
Silly Cow Farms. Yes. I am not familiar with Silly Cow Farms.
Silly Cow is, I believe, a brand available at Whole Foods. It's the prettiest jar we taste tested.
Okay. Yeah, no, I was looking at some of the, because Tom had all the packets in the jar, and I looked at the jar, and I was like, what is this? Because it's really nice looking.
Yeah, it's definitely well packaged. Separated from the pack in that way.
Yeah. But it's not great, though, but it's better than the Tootsie Roll.
Yes, and it's the only one that highly recommends mixing with milk instead of water, which
helps.
Okay.
Did you use milk?
I did use milk.
Oh, okay. All right. That explains the consistency,
mm-hmm.
the difference in the consistency. I like this, though. Katie, who works at the takeout, quote, "It tastes like water with powder."
Well, we know that that's what it is, but we don't always want it to taste like that.
Exactly.
What it is.
Exactly. All right, let's do another one here. We've got another one. Now, this one, first of all, visually not attractive.
I think the color of this one might give it away. I'm pretty sure I know what this is, but I won't tell you.
Oh, you know what? I think I know what it is.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. Mm.
Yep.
Oh, boy. All right. So there's...
You're grimacing.
Well, I didn't expect the what's in there.
Yes.
To be in there. I mean, obviously, this is Oreo.
It is Oreo, right?
Yeah. Oreo cocoa mix. Because it's like they took some liquid and they crushed up a bunch of Oreos and threw them in. That's what it feels like.
Isn't it kind of amazing that they can... so accurately reproduce their flavor in powder form. It really is like they pulverized it.
Oh, it might taste like an Oreo.
And it's as thick as like chewing on an Oreo.
No, it is. And it's just really visually unappealing.
It's almost black inside the cup, which sounds in theory like it would be good, but it leaves like kind of a sludginess around the rest of the cup.
No question about it. No, it's just visual. I mean, it doesn't. It tastes like a liquefied Oreo.
Absolutely.
And if you like Oreos, then I guess that's a good thing. But man, I you know, if somebody brought this to me and said, here, drink it, I'd go, no. You first.
Maybe a teaspoon.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, all right, that's the Oreo. We'll do one more here before we break.
All right.
Okay, so this one looks good.
This almost looks like coffee.
Yeah, almost. All right, here we go. Okay, this tastes a little bit. More like dark chocolate. You okay?
Wrong pipe.
Wrong pipe. Okay. This one does taste. Does taste a little bit like, I don't know, a little bit like coffee.
And in fact, I think that means that I know which one this is.
Okay. There's no caffeine in this, is there? Oh, man.
No, all of them advertise it's like 99.99%.
All right. Okay. I just thought of that now. It's been 13 years since I've had any caffeine in my body. No, longer than that. 16 years since I've had any caffeine in my body. Okay. If I start jumping off the walls, then you'll know.
Yeah. Notice.
Just a sugar rush.
One more taste. Okay. I like this one.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I think, of the four that we've tasted, this is, I think, the best.
I think it's got the most complex flavor.
Yeah.
And it is aiming, I think, toward... If it's the one I think it is, then it's definitely aiming for that coffee pocket.
Okay. All right. All right, Tom, which one is this? What brand?
That's the Starbucks hot chocolate.
Okay, yep. That makes sense.
Yep, the Starbucks. They really go for that mocha flavor.
Yeah. It's of the four that we've tasted, I like that one the most.
Oh, good.
And it did okay, not great on your... on your taste test, on the takeout.
Yeah, and I think my point with that one was it does an excellent job at recreating the Starbucks mocha, but when I want hot chocolate, I want it to taste like a little kid drink.
Okay,
you know,
gotcha.
Like whimsical and
nope,
extra
that makes
sweet.
Sense. That totally makes sense. Okay, hang on a second. We're going to take a break, okay? Marnie Schur is with us as she is the editor-in-chief of The Takeout. We've got more food topics to talk about and hot chocolate to taste here. And if you want to check out their taste test of the hot chocolate, go to thetakeout.com. More coming up after this. A deep hot chocolate cut right there. Those last two were hits. The first two that you had, but that's what I said. Hot Chocolate only had two hits, I think.
I'm learning about their discography now.
Yeah, yeah. It's a learning experience on the Nick DiGilio show. That's what we like to think here. We are live in the Skyline studio, coming up at 5 o'clock. Steve Cochran, has your morning, drive, and the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. We are here with Marnie Schur, who is the editor-in-chief of The Takeout, which is a really great food website associated with the AV Club and The Onion. And you can check out thetakeout.com. We're going to talk about some of the other articles that you have written But we've been talking about the taste test that you guys did for hot cocoa, grocery store bought powdered hot cocoa. Mm-hmm. That was the specific rules.
Yes, and ideally you only want to add water because people might not have milk around.
Right. Okay. All right. So how many people participated in the taste test?
4.5.
Wait a minute. How does that work out?
Associate editor Amy Levitt and myself taste tested them. Amy did the great work of going to the grocery store and collecting all of these. And then on the AV Club, Gwen Einat and Katie Reif joined us for the taste test. And then my husband sampled a few of them.
Oh, so that's your half?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's the half. What did your husband, is your husband quoted in here?
No, he just wanted to taste them and see if any of them were good. And he didn't really like any of them.
He didn't like any of them.
He was too much of a curmudgeon to be included.
Was he a hot cocoa lover as a kid? Did he have a specific sort of cocoa that he liked?
I think we both just grew up with Swiss Miss.
Yeah. So it's sort I think of a like, lot of people did.
Yeah, it's just a lot of what you remember. Did. And
yeah, I also, this isn't, I don't know if I ever had hot chocolate with it, but as a kid, I loved Bosco.
Bosco?
I loved Bosco. Now, Bosco, though, is not powdered.
Right, right.
That's a big chocolate, thick syrup.
Syrup, yeah.
And I would drink Bosco by the gallon.
I ate quick powder off the spoon, so I definitely, the Nestle Quick, yeah, absolutely. It was a favorite dessert of mine.
Yeah, the Nestle Quick in the big tin.
Yes.
That you would take the metal tin off the top of it, mm-hmm. the container off the top of it, and just scoop it in. Those were the days. But so were there any other rules for the taste test at all?
The other rule that we had was no mix-ins. You know, Swiss Miss has that classic marshmallow packet.
Oh, right.
But it seems to give an unfair advantage to certain powders with the mix-ins, so we just said straight powder.
Yeah, so just straight powder. And when did you guys conduct this taste test?
It was about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Spread over a couple days because it's not fair to the palate to try to cram 12 hot
That's
cocos
true.
Into one sitting.
That's true. Well, now what has the response been what are some of their favorite brands? Which ones do they like the most?
Well, I think that what commenters really love to do is disagree with the brands that you love the most, right?
I'm sure. Of course.
But everybody has that Swiss Miss memory. A lot of people were excited to see some slightly more local brands on the list.
Yeah.
Certain things are national, Starbucks obviously among them, but Papa Nicholas, that's Batavia, Illinois, and it was, one of the ones that was in our grocery store, and we did test it.
That Papa Nicholas, by the way, provides us coffee here at the office.
Oh, really?
Yep, that's, if you look at the cup that you have,
yes,
or the cup
that's right.
It's a Papa Nicholas cup, and the coffee that we have here in the office is a WGN. Provided by Papa Nicholas.
I've never had their coffee, just their hot chocolate.
Yeah, I've never had their coffee. Well, I don't drink coffee. Mm-hmm. But I hear it's good. People enjoy it.
I'll definitely be trying it now.
So, okay, well, listen, let's take a break, and then we'll come back after the news, and we'll do a few more taste tests for the hot chocolate. And there's a few more food stories that I want to get to, especially concerning duct taping food to walls.
Absolutely.
Based on the $150,000 that... That went for a banana duct taped to a wall.
Because it is art.
Did you see the guy eat it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's performance art. It's all art on top of art.
I love that story for some reason. Yeah, okay, hang on a second. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with more here on WGN after the news. Ah, yes, the genius of Weird Al. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DeGilio here on WGN. We're live in the Skyline Studios, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. Coming up in a little bit, we're going to talk about alternative Christmas classic movies. We got the best fake TV holidays. Celebrities are spoiled. I don't know if you knew that or not. The SAG nominations have been announced, and Dennis Scott is going to join us after 12:30 to talk about the Music Box Theater's annual Christmas event, the White Christmas and It's a Wonderful Life sing-along double feature. He is the organist for the Music Box Theater. But in studio with me right now is Marnie Shore. She is editor-in-chief at The Takeout, thetakeout.com, a great food website. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a few more. We've been doing a hot chocolate taste test. And if you guys want to jump in with text or talk, it's 312-981-7200 if you have a favorite hot cocoa. But you guys did the great store-bought hot cocoa mixed taste test. These were powdered cocoa mixes bought from the grocery store, and you taste tested 12 of them.
Yes, we did.
And so we are doing a live taste test. We got three more that we're going to try. Let's see. My favorite so far, I guess, is the Starbucks one.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Although you make a really good point, a really valid point about what hot cocoa should taste like.
Right. A little less like coffee, a little more like candy.
Yeah, exactly.
Personal opinion, I suppose.
No. That makes sense. I just thought of the ones that we tasted, the first four, I thought that was the best one of them.
Sure.
Okay. Are we ready?
We're ready.
All right. Let's try this one.
Okay. This has a really nice color to it.
It does. And it looks thick. So here we go.
Now, that, I think, is the best one we've had so far.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, you agree?
Oh, absolutely. No,
okay,
this is you know what this is? This is a cup of hot chocolate. That's what this is.
Yes. It's not, the water aspect of it isn't sneaking up to the top of the flavor the way that it does with some of the powders.
I got to say, this is by far the best one we've tasted.
Definitely.
I may even finish this.
Really creamy, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. And you know what? It tastes like I'm tipping the cup a little bit, and it's got a lot of that like creaminess clinging to the cup, which is pretty impressive given that it's like, you know.
Was this made with water?
This was made with milk.
Oh, this was made with milk.
Yeah. Okay.
A lot of these were recommended with milk. You could do both with most of them, but they recommended milk. So
okay. Do you have any idea what this is?
Well, I didn't taste test any of them with milk, so now I'm very curious. I wonder if...
These were all water. In the article that you guys did at the takeout, it was all water with the mix.
All water.
Okay. So this one was made with milk. All right. Easily my favorite of the ones that we've tasted so far. Okay. What is this?
That's Ghirardelli.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Of course.
I didn't even know that they made it. That came in fourth. On your list.
And maybe that is the key then, is the milk. You know, we decided not to taste test with milk because we wanted the accessibility to be highest. We wanted it to be, you know, you could find this cocoa packet in your cabinet and say like, oh my gosh, I forgot I had this. Let's make a cup of cocoa.
Sure.
Without having to buy anything extra. But this makes me think this does knock it to a higher position in the list is with the milk.
Yeah. I guess the milk does make a bit of a difference. Really? But that was good, though. Mm-hmm. That was really, really good. Okay. All right. Are we ready for one more here?
We are.
All right. Let's try this. Ah, this is also very good.
This one is definitely on the sweeter side. The Ghirardelli is more like a rich, mellow, almost like a darker chocolate.
Yeah.
I think that's a semi-sweet packet. This was much more like milk chocolate.
Was this made with milk or water?
It was made with milk. Well, yeah, all three of these here were made with milk.
Oh, man, that's good. that's really good.
That's very sweet, but it works.
It's really good. What is it?
That's a classic Swiss Miss.
That's Swiss Miss right there.
Swiss Miss.
And that's why they're the champs.
Number two. It came in number two on your list here of the hot cocoa mix taste test.
A classic.
That's childhood in a cup right there. Seriously, it is. It's great. It's great. Boy, these last two were really good, but that Swiss Miss, man, I mean, it's legendary.
And imagine with the tiny marshmallows mixed in.
Right, right. Even better. All right, let's taste one more, and then we're going to talk about some more food stories that you guys have been covering.
Okay.
All right, let's look at this one. God, this is good, too.
Now, this almost tastes like it's going for dark chocolate.
Yeah.
And it's a nice like counterpoint to the Swiss Miss sweetness.
Yeah.
I think I could get through a whole mug of this a little easier.
Yeah. No, it does have a little bit of that, a wee bit of the bitter sort of dark chocolate flavor, which I happen to prefer dark chocolate to milk chocolate. I'm one of those weirdos.
No, it's a more grown-up flavor.
And it's also, dark chocolate is good for you. It's good for your blood pressure. Dark chocolate lowers your blood pressure.
I love that.
Yeah. So,
We better drink it all then.
Exactly. Okay. Well, that was really good. I still think the Swiss Miss is of the ones that we've tasted, my favorite of the ones we've tasted. What was that one?
That was the Papa Nicholas.
That's the number one.
That's the number one. Okay. I was going to say that one was my favorite that we've tasted. So Papa Nicholas.
It is Papa Nicholas. Okay.
And that's my favorite as well.
That's your favorite too?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I got to go with the Swiss Miss. So Tootsie Roll came in at the bottom
Yes.
At 11 came 365 Everyday Value Organic Cocoa. And 365 is, what's the, that's the
that's
brand?
That's the Whole Foods
That's Whole
brand.
Foods brand. Okay. And that didn't fare very well.
Not really.
Silly Cows, which we tasted. Mm-hmm. Not very good. Oreo, which I thought was a disaster, quite frankly.
It was a lot to handle.
Yeah. Number eight is Land O'Lakes Cocoa Classics Chocolate Supreme.
I really like that one, yeah. It's yeah. very buttery, yeah.
Well, it's Land O'Lakes.
Exactly, if that's something you like in your cocoa.
Then the seventh is Starbucks, which I thought was very tasty.
Mm-hmm.
And coming in number six is Stevens Organic Hot Cocoa. Where is Stevens from? Is that just a regular brand?
You know, I don't remember. Stevens is one of the brands that was at the most stores, so we wanted to include it. I don't know much about the background of the brand.
Okay. All right, but it came in sixth, not bad. Mm-hmm. Five, Nestle Classic Rich Milk Chocolate Flavor Hot Cocoa Mix.
Yes. That's kind of in the Swiss Miss vein, but
yeah.
not as sweet.
Nestle was the other one that I had when I was a kid a lot.
Yes.
It was mostly Swiss Miss or Nestle. Those were the ones. Ghirardelli, which we already talked about, which is really tasty. Mm-hmm. Now, coming in at third, Trader Joe's Organic Hot Cocoa Mix. That's pretty high.
Yeah, you know, they did a great job with it. It's got those dark chocolate notes, and when you look at that powder, it's clearly organic and natural. You can see sugar crystals in it and stuff, so that's kind of nice for people.
Very cool. And then number two is Swiss Miss, which is the classic, and then number one is Papa Nicholas.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, how often do you guys do these taste test things? I know you guys do them pretty regularly.
We do. We actually also just did a taste test of the Trader Joe's holiday treats. Every year, Trader Joe's releases tons of holiday treats, and we bought 17 of them and tested them with some help from our dogs, because some of the things we bought were holiday dog biscuits.
I see. No, in terms of treats, that sounds a little generic. What were they? Were they like cookies and candy and stuff like that?
Yeah, kind of a little bit of everything that they release just in December.
Uh-huh.
You know, we tried dark chocolate shortbreads, a lot of candy cane flavored ice cream and cookies, the candy cane JoJo's. Most of it was really good, but we do a recommendation of whether or not to buy it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And so that's basically what those taste tests are for.
Yes. And they're a whole lot of fun.
That's cool. I bet, man. I bet. Okay. So everybody check out thetakeout.com. A couple of other things that we wanted to mention here is that IHOP wants to be the Chipotle of all day breakfast. So explain what that headline means.
Sure. So IHOP is testing a new restaurant concept called Flipped by IHOP. And
okay.
they want to.
By the way, remember when they changed the to IHOP to what was it? Hamburger, the H to hamburger.
The International House of Burgers.
Oh, burgers, right? The IHOP, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the stupidest thing.
They teased it being permanent, and then it wasn't.
Right. So anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt, but anytime I think of IHOP, I think of that thing.
They're always experimenting.
Yeah.
And this time, you know, I think that they want to get people's attention. So of course, IHOP was one way to do that. And this is a new concept where, kind of in a Chipotle style, you go down the line and customize your pancake bowl. So you can add fruit and meat and eggs to your pancake bowl. And they're kind of trying to speed up and make more efficient, like, this whole breakfast concept for, I suppose, for busy millennials.
What's a pancake bowl? It's a bowl full of pancakes?
We'll find out, won't we?
Oh, okay. All right.
I think it must be, like layers of pancake, egg, and breakfast meat and maybe some syrup, like the whole plate stacked on top of each other in a bowl.
Okay. All right.
But whether or not people will go for it remains to be seen.
And the all day breakfast thing, have they tried that out anyplace else?
Oh, gosh. I'm not sure. You know, they test so many of these things in regional markets.
Right.
It's hard to say. You know, for example, Chicago had the Popeyes chicken sandwich in April. It's just that they didn't make it national news until August, and that's when it went nuts.
I see. Okay, hang on a second, okay? Marnie Schurer is with us. She is editor-in-chief of The Takeout. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come up. Got a couple more food stories to talk about here on WGN.
Some guys are mad smart. Some guys are tough dudes. But me and my homies, we mostly care about food. Got spots to peruse and never choosing McDonald's. I'm talking now. Cheese steaks, Dinos, and Chinos. Tommy's on Pico. High life in Pasadena, man. And Lucky Boy, too. And I can't forget Arena.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline studio here. We're 11 p.m. To 4 a.m. every weeknight and into the weekday morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk or text. Dennis Scott is going to join us. He is the Music Box Theater's house organist. We'll talk with him after 12:30. And you can follow us on Twitter @Nick D Show, and our Facebook page is facebook.com/Nick D Show. My guest right now is Marnie Shore, editor-in-chief of The Takeout, a really great food website at thetakeout.com. We just did a very intensive hot cocoa taste test, and I went old school with the Swiss Miss.
You know what? Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with the classics.
Yeah. And you guys both chose, you and Tom both chose Papa Nicholas.
Yes. Love the Papa Nicholas.
Which gets a fine representation here at WGN in the offices.
Absolutely.
So, well, welcome back, Marnie.
Thanks.
So, you know, you've been writing about food for a while now, and you guys don't ignore fast food, which is great. Do you have a favorite fast food restaurant?
Oh, gosh. You know, I lived closest to a Chipotle for a long time. I don't know if we count that as fast food. Do we count that?
I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say Chipotle. You can just really customize it the most.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
I am a Burger King guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't eat a lot of fast food. I used to, but I don't anymore. And that's not for health reasons. It's just I don't have a car.
Yeah.
So I don't do the drive-through thing. You know, when you're hungry and you're like, I'll just drive through and get something.
Exactly.
But I've always really liked Burger King. It's
mm-hmm.
it's always been. But I mean, Chipotle's great. And yeah. I guess that does count as fast food.
Yeah, nothing like that Whopper though.
Oh man. Now, I have not tried the Impossible Whopper or the Impossible Burger. Have you tried the any of the Impossible meats?
I have eaten Beyond Meat at home.
Mm-hmm.
So, Beyond Burgers and Beyond Tacos, and it's delicious. I wouldn't say that it's a one-to-one comparison to meat.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of a different product, but it's really delicious. It's earthy and complex, and I think it's a good thing to be taken off.
We did a taste test a couple of months ago. Our early morning engineer who comes in here, Bob, stopped off at White Castle on the way here and brought in real White Castle and then Impossible Slider. So regular and Impossible. First of all, I could tell. First of all, I've had many sliders in my life.
Right.
Addison and Kedzie, White Castle. I can't tell you the number of times I frequent that. When I was a drinking man, I was there a lot.
With the Crave case.
Oh, my God. But anyway, so he brought them in. We wanted to taste test it. And visually, they look completely. Like, I knew which one was Impossible and which one was a real slider. So
mm-hmm.
I knew right, because they wanted me to see if I could guess. But as soon, visually, I just looked at it. It's thicker.
Okay.
And it doesn't. And I didn't lift up the. Here's the thing, though. I did not lift up the top bun
mm-hmm.
to see if it had the infamous five holes.
Oh, like it would on the grill.
Right.
Okay.
Because the patty that they have, they steam fry them. They
right.
steam them on the grill. And that's why they have the five holes in the patty so that the steam can get through.
Right. And they don't need to do that with the Impossible
no.
meat.
And so, okay. like, after I took a couple of bites, I was like, wait a minute, let me see. And then I pulled the thing up, and they didn't have the holes. And I'm like, well, that's clearly is another. So I tasted it, and it's not, I don't think it's, you know, nearly as good as a regular slider. I am a carnivore.
Yeah.
And I didn't think it was bad. I thought it tasted good, but I could tell immediately. You know, I know. I see these commercials where people are like, "Yeah, I can't tell." So the only Impossible burger I've ever had is a slider from White Castle, and I could tell as soon as I bit into it. I'm like, "Okay, it tastes pretty good. It's not beef."
Yeah, it's less an imitation and more an emulation.
Exactly,
it's like approximating meat in a delicious way.
Yeah. But it's I've not but, and again I've not tasted it from different places. My old producer Dan, we went out to dinner over at Howells and Hood, which mm-hmm. was in the Tribune building, and he tried the Impossible burger there, and he said it tasted really really good.
Oh, that's good.
So
to know.
Yeah, okay. I don't. The place is not open anymore though.
Oh, Howells and Hood closed.
No, yeah, I think the whole building is being
right.
you know reconstructed. But yeah, so I obviously I know that it depends on where you go to get it. Speaking as the person who tasted the Impossible slider, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a slider.
Sure.
It's not a real slider.
Doesn't have that grease.
Tom, have you had Impossible stuff?
I had the Impossible Whopper.
Oh, what did you think?
Better than the slider, honestly.
Yeah.
And Burger King's done me dirty over the years. I don't really trust Burger King most of the time, but I gotta say, at the Buffalo Airport in New York.
Oh, what else are you gonna do in Buffalo? Get an Impossible Burger from Burger King. You're in Buffalo. That's what you do when you go to Buffalo.
Well, the real kicker was there was another passenger who was before me, and they ordered an Impossible Burger with bacon on it.
Oh, that's right. You told me
yeah.
about that. That's right.
I was like, why?
Like real bacon.
Yeah, real bacon.
Why are you...
You know, it's kind of a pro tip of mine is to go to a pizza place, order the vegetarian pizza with sausage on it, because they're going to get the best vegetables.
Oh, that's... You know what, man? That is a great tip.
It's got a good ratio that
that's
way,
That's a great tip. Man, oh man, mark that one down, Tom.
I wonder the confused faces.
Man,
that
oh man!
Wait, hold on.
Next time I order from Al's, that's what I'm getting, man.
They think they misheard you, but you just got to explain it clearly.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So anyway, but yeah, so the impossible stuff is, but it's such a huge thing too. Mm-hmm. I mean, massive. You guys have covered it, I'm assuming, on the takeout.
Yeah, and I think that the most recent figure I saw was like that it's a $1.5 billion industry.
Not surprised.
Yeah, projected growth.
Not surprised at all. And again, I'm not, I mean, you know, they taste fine. It's just that I can't not eat meat.
Yeah.
I just can't. I can't do it.
It's a lifestyle adjustment for sure.
It's completely. I mean, I grew up in a house, you know, meat, potato, veg.
Mm-hmm.
That was dinner, you know, and it was always meat.
Yes.
And so I can't get that out of my system. It was, what's really funny is my first wife was a vegetarian when I met her,
mm-hmm.
When we started dating. And it didn't last. Because I did not adjust my diet at all.
Right.
She worked. She was a waitress at a vegetarian restaurant in Evanston that I can't remember the name of right now. Something cafe. I can't remember, but anyway, she would bring food home, and I would try it, you know, and it would be like, okay, that's fine, chicken satay, that's whatever. But we were on vacation in Minnesota, and we were visiting her brother. Her brother lived in Minnesota, so we were at the hotel, and I ordered room service, and she got like a oatmeal or something, and I got like, you know, bacon, like lots of bacon, and I ordered it. And at this point, we had been dating for a few months, and she was still a vegetarian, and as soon as I lifted the cover off of the plate, and the bacon smell just wafted through the room, and she was sitting like eating her, you know, oatmeal. She went, okay, give me a piece of bacon. Cause she used to be she used to eat meat.
Okay.
And then went vegetarian.
And the smell of bacon.
And then she started eating the bacon, and she was like, oh, this is so good. And then she got sick because her body wasn't used to it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's, you know, one of the things that I hated about that Morgan Spurlock movie, The Supersize Me,
mm-hmm.
is that he didn't tell anybody that he was a vegan.
Oh.
And so all of those horrible things that were happening to his body, which are legit if you're going to eat McDonald's three times a day every day. It's not good for you, clearly.
Right.
But it was worse because he was a vegan. One of the reasons why he was throwing up in drive-thrus and stuff is because his body wasn't used to it.
Wow. Yeah, that would be quite the adjustment.
So, absolutely. So that's why I think that movie's a little dishonest. So what are you guys working on now?
Takeout is always working on a million things. But right now we're working on end-of-year articles.
Oh, that's always. And are you going to do end of decade articles too?
A little bit of end of decade, uh-huh. a little bit of end of year. And, you know, it is the holidays. So one thing that we're working on this year that is pretty fun is a suite of Hanukkah recipes.
Oh, cool.
They're going to come out in advance of Hanukkah. So that can be seen Monday through Friday of next week is when we're going to roll those out.
Great.
And it's going to be sort of like twists on classic dishes.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's happening at the takeout. By the way, I do want to mention there was another article here that I wanted to mention really quickly before we got about a minute. Star Wars kitchen products. What is this piece about?
Williams-Sonoma loves selling Star Wars products. And why wouldn't they? Because everybody buys them. They just released an exclusive line of new Instant Pots that are, they look like R2-D2, Chewbacca. There's a BB-8 Instant Pot. You know, these are expensive pieces of equipment.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
You know, you can make them even more expensive if you Star Warsify them.
Star Warsify. yeah, that's a word.
Yeah,
that's
it is
a
now.
Word. And especially, I mean, obviously they're going to push it now because next week, you know, we're 10 days away from the final chapter of the Star Wars
right.
story.
Yes.
What the hell is it called? Rise of Skywalker,
Rise
right?
of Skywalker, yeah.
Right. I got my ticket already.
Did you really?
Yeah, because I didn't want it to sell out, and I'm going to see it the crazy IMAX 3D.
But are you going to bring your Chewbacca Instant Pot with you?
No, I don't have... I'll you can leave that at home. I'll bring my BB-8, but I'll leave the Chewbacca at home. By the way, am I the only one that really loves that commercial where the dog looks like Chewbacca? And then at the end, there's a Rilo... what's his name?
Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren cat.
That was perfect.
I love that. I love that commercial. So anyway, listen, real pleasure to have you on.
Yeah, thank you so much for having
come
us.
Back and we'll talk more
right.
at some point in
we'll
the future. The Takeout, that's the website. Check out thetakeout.com. Marnie Shure, and you can follow her on Twitter at Marnie Shure, S-H-U-R-E. There you go. Okay, nice to see you, and have a great holiday.
You as well.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. We got to come back, and then we're going to talk with Dennis Scott, who is the Music Box's house organist, right after this.